All right. Welcome into the Grace Point Daily Podcast. You've been hearing a lot of some of the daily Bible reading podcasts, but we're going to get back to a verse by verse with Dr. R.B. Maynard. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
A little all over the place. I think my problem is, part of my problem is I think I can do everything. So I'm trying to do this bike ride that I'm doing. I'm trying to do podcasts, and then I want to be Superman, but I'm not.
Well, it's easy to get out of the habit. I wasn't feeling good a couple of weeks, and then you get to feeling better, but then it's like, well, we didn't do it, and so we don't do it. And then the weather was bad, and so anyway, here we are.
I'm so excited for spring, summer, wherever you might be listening. In Southwest Missouri, it's like the never ending. It's always winter, never Christmas.
Yes.
Chronicles of Narnia kind of thing. All right, so we're in the Word. Dr. R.B. Maynard taking us through. Let's go.
We are Luke 1:49. And we're in the middle of Mary basically giving her blessing, or I think some of them call it Mary's prayer. We talked about last time the Catholic Church calls it the Magnificat, the blessings that she's giving. And so in verse 49, we're in kind of the middle of it, but verse 49, she says, For he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. In other words, this is totally Christ. This pregnancy, all of these things are done in holiness. I didn't have anything to do with it. This is God saying this is the way things are going to be. So, you know, I think, and we find that in a lot of, probably every godly man, every godly woman, is humility is one of the things that God is after. I mean, every one of the people I'm studying about John the Baptist now, you know, because we're talking really about the life of Christ. Well, with John the Baptist, it was all about this is not me, this is him. It was all about the humility. And so that's basically this whole thing that she's talking about. Verse 50 says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And, we look at all these scriptures like, the conditions, we don't like conditional things. We like blessings. Oh, God's going to bless me, and it says he'll prosper me, and it says he'll answer my prayers, and all of those kinds of things. But we forget about the conditions, and this says mercy. You know, we all plead for mercy. Man, thank you, Lord, for your mercy in my life. But it says his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You can't plead for God's mercy if you have no fear of God and think that, well, he's just a loving God, so he doesn't care what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't care what I say because mercy. You know, we plead mercy on ourselves. And fear, you know, talking about fearing God, and I know you've preached about this, but there is a reverential fear of God. I am afraid of God.
Yes, I am.
I mean, I know what God could do to me. I know he can strike me dead at any moment. I mean, I have a fear, but it's a fear, you know, I use my dad as an example.
Yep.
Now, my mom, she would swat us once in a while. I didn't get a beating, but, you know, I'd be wanting to stomp out of the door mad because she wouldn't let me do something or whatever, and she'd reach over and swat me, you know, it didn't hurt. But but I never got bad beatings. My dad never whipped me my entire life, but I was always afraid.
Okay.
You know, now, I loved him, and I knew he loved me. And he wasn't abusive. He was a good dad. But I had a fear. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew that if I stepped over the line, I knew if I ever said anything wrong to my mom or ever hit my mom or anything, that would have been the end, you know, of me. Yeah. I wouldn't be sitting here today, maybe. But so, you know, I mean, there's fear of hell. There's fear of damnation. Some people have fear of death. But that reverential fear of God, in knowing, you know, I am afraid of the police.
Yes.
Well, but I respect them, and I honor them, and I trust them, and all those things. But I'm afraid of them because I know that if I'm in the wrong, I can get in trouble.
Just like last month, I got pulled over 3 times in the course of 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
I told the whole story, but I'm very afraid. Like, I constantly have anxiety now when I'm driving in Carthage. I didn't do it.
Did you fix whatever the problem was?
Well, it's a long story.
Okay. We won't go there.
No tickets were given. Let's just say that. Praise God. All warnings.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
And the third time was the officer said, we got to stop meeting like this.
So now you're known by name.
Yeah.
Well, it's just him again. So. But his mercy, and it's talking about from generation to generation, this is not just his mercy shown on me. This is God's mercy on all of us from generation to generation. It wasn't going to end. Verse 51, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The strength by his arm always had to do with a sign of power. And it says he scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. The imagination of the proud, he's talking about those people really who didn't believe that Jesus was going to be Messiah and all of those kinds of things. But those people, they didn't think that he would be born to, or they thought he would be, their imagination. In other words, what they thought Messiah was going to look like to them would have been a rich, noble family. And, we're maybe putting words in their mouth, but I think that these things are true, that he would appear as a prince, that he would set up a kingdom, mm-hmm. That he was going to free them from all the oppression of the Romans or whoever it was, that they were going to be flourishing. And, we can say, well, I can't believe they all thought that. Don't we think that every time we get a new president?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they promise, is all of these, I'm going to free you and we're going to have free things and all these different things. But scattered the proud is confusing people. He did not do it like they thought it was going to be. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so people got, they were confused that he was born of a virgin. He came from Nazareth. You know, the saying was always, shall anything good come from Nazareth? Mary betrothed to just a carpenter, just a common working man. I mean, it just does not make sense for what they thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so it scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Verse 152, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. So it's that same thing. It's just taking away that proud feeling of people, but exalting them of low degree. I just wrote down, it's sad, but most proud people don't know they're proud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
Pride is not, sometimes I look at myself and I say, am I just, you really have to check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing this out of pride? Am I doing this because I want somebody to notice, what are the motivations and the reason that I do things? And pride is something that, we should have pride. We should have pride in our jobs and the things that we do. But there's that self-pride. And, and then there's a false humility. There's people, I don't mean to talk about myself, but,
mm-hmm.
or, I like your coat. Oh, this old thing, it's that. So it's one of those things that can be, evil
mm-hmm.
or good in pride and humility in both things. But verse 54, he hath, and I'm reading King James, so this is a strange word. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. I actually had to look up that word. It means to take hold of one, to help when in danger of falling. So he's talking about, and he does that because he promised mercy, and so it says he remembers the mercy, so he's taking hold of them, trying to keep them from falling. And we look at that like, well, if he's got a hold of us, then why should we ever fall? It's because we turn loose of him, mm-hmm. not because he turns loose of us. He wants to hold on to us. And, we've been talking a lot lately about the children and the young people, and we're, getting ready for a youth convention and all these different, we had a lot of prayer for the kids and
yep.
young people the other night. And I can remember when I was going to Willowcrest, and some of those kids over there that were so troubled and had been abused and never, some of those kids didn't know what the Bible was. And we think the United States, because we're so modern and with all the technology and everything, that everybody would at least know something about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But you go over there and they don't know what the Bible is. They don't know what Jesus, who Jesus is. So it's starting really from scratch. And you begin to tell them things. And you see them, you know, they raise their hand for salvation. And I don't know if it's the first time or the 10th time. I don't know. But there was times when I felt like, not like I physically wanted, you know, I've had my children. I don't want children in my house right now.
You have a dad, a dog, excuse me.
Yeah.
You had a dad.
We have, cat. Yeah, we have a dog. Cat now. So, but I really wanted that feeling of, I wish I could wrap my arms around them and hold on to them and watch every move. And it's a little bit like being a parent. I mean, I know you've got two daughters in college right now.
Mm-hmm.
They were homeschooled, so at least you had that, not hold on them, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. They were there for their schooling, and you've pretty much been able to know all their friends, to know everybody because you knew who they saw at church and different events. But they go to school, and it's like now they're, you know, they're out of sight. And I will say, you joked the other night about Gabrielle. You asked her if she kissed a boy yet.
Yeah.
So after church, I went up and I said, "So have you kissed a boy yet?"
She said,
"No." And I said, "Well, would you tell me if you had?" She said, "If I tell you I've kissed a boy, I'm either engaged or married."
Yeah.
So that's a good, you know.
I did ask her, "You do like boys though, right?"
No, yeah. Yeah. Let's make sure we're on the right track. But anyway, with your kids, you know, my boys both moved to Indiana shortly after they got out of high school. And one of them went a semester of college. But, you know, when they get out of your sight, you wish that you could hold on to them. You wish you could see them every day to know if there's a problem, if they're struggling with something, you know, that they're eating right, that they're all these things. And it's the same way, you know, I think the Lord wants to hold on to us and watch us every second, but we choose to turn loose of his hand and do what we want to do and then almost pretend like he doesn't see us or care about us. But anyway, verse 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. So it was all that it's talking about is just to the Jews first, but then to Abraham's descendants. Verse 56, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. When she left, Elizabeth was about ready to give birth, so that means then that Mary is about 3 months. Now, I'm going to just read a little something here, but I always talk about, and believe me, I'm not a Jewish expert by any means. I mean, that's a whole other thing to study and get into, but there's a lot of things, and you have to, we've said it many times, the Bible was not written to Americans in the United States.
Correct.
And it was not written in our time. You know, we have to look at the culture and the way things were done. Now, when you look at culture and the way things were done, that still doesn't mean that it was by God's command. There was, in other words, men had multiple wives. God never planned it that way.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, he allowed it without striking people dead. I mean, maybe that happened at times, but I'm just saying there were cultural things that were going on, and if you didn't understand the cultural things, it still doesn't mean it was biblical, that it was right, that it was approved by God. But one of those things, when it talks about this three-month issue, let me just read, and this is from a Jewish perspective. It says, Mary abode with her about 3 months. That is, she continued with Elizabeth, as the Syriac and Persic versions express, about the space of 3 months, in which time she had full satisfaction of the truth of the sign the angel had given her, namely of Elizabeth's conception, because the angel had told her that, and pregnancy, for by this time she was ready to give birth, and she must now be fully assured that she was with child herself. This space of 3 months is a term fixed by the Jewish doctors to know whether a woman is with child or not. As in the case of divorce or death, the rule runs this. Every woman that is divorced or becomes a widow, she may not marry nor be betrothed until she waits 90 days, exclusive of the day in which she is divorced or her husband dies, or of the day in which she is betrothed, so that it may be known whether she is with child or not, in order to distinguish between the seed of the former and the seed of the second husband. And so in the case of marrying the wife of a brother that died without issue, and of newly married couples mistaking their spouses, in other words, this three-month issue was an issue to make sure that, and that's why it becomes such an issue with Joseph, because that three-month issue, if you just married one day and then he found out Mary's pregnant, now is it his or is it, but if you wait 3 months and you haven't had relations with him, then you know that baby's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for her, she's going to come back 3 months pregnant when she comes back home. Obviously, his first, not only just in normal culture, but in that culture, it's been 3 months. He knows he didn't have any relations with her. He knows mm-hmm. that baby's not his.
Yeah.
I mean, we think, oh, Joseph just should have accepted it because Mary said that, you know, God told her and all of that, and how easy that should have been for him. That's not the case right. anymore than would be for any of us.
We need to go on Maury Povich right now.
Yeah.
Settle go. This thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I doubt it. I don't think that probably is going to work either, but. But anyway, now Elizabeth, 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. I mean, this is a great thing, number one. I mean, he has shown mercy on her because she's old. I mean, she's too old to be having a baby. This is not even the normal mm-hmm. baby. Because the Lord had shown, I mean, they know this is a miraculous birth. Verse 59, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Now, that gets changed later when we get to that part of the story. But the command to circumcise on the eighth day backs all the way up into Genesis, and we're not going to read it. But Genesis 17, 9 through 14 has to do with the circumcision, and this, I kind of felt bad because Stella knew this and I didn't know it when I was telling this, but maybe you know this too, but on the eighth day of a child is when the vitamin K is the highest, and vitamin K is necessary for the clotting of blood.
Okay.
And so even
the
though...
Eighth day after birth.
Okay.
All right.
And so even in, this would be one of those things I thought about, how many times do we say about God's commands, and especially when we're reading all these Old Testament commands and things, how many times would somebody maybe have said, the eighth day, that's not going to work. We've got plans or we've got, mm-hmm. so in other words, somebody might say, we don't have this recorded, but somebody might say, well, I'm going to be busy on the eighth day. What can we do it on the 15th day? Or can we do it, you know, I'd like to do it on mom's birthday or, you know, something like that. But God, knowing how he's created man, that now, I'm not going to say that if somebody was circumcised on the seventh day, they'd bleed to death. If they were circumcised on the ninth day, that they're going to die from bleeding to death. But they didn't know that then, that on the eighth day that the vitamin K would be the highest level in the body. And so even God in his commands, we think sometimes he's so random.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
like God's up there, well, let's see. I wonder when, well, let's just do it on the eighth day, like it was just casual. But God, knowing how he created man, how that should go, even that is a... thing, and that's why so many times when we talk about God's commands on our lives and we begin to question them, there are times we are not going to find an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are times we have to say, you know, we always joke because Brother Graham's mom, one time they were talking about something and she said, well, God probably knew, you know, like, and they laughed about that for years. And Brother Graham would even use that little thing sometimes. Well, God probably knew, you know, well, God does know.
Yeah. Right.
And this whole thing, sometimes, you know, questioning, I don't think we hurt God's feelings by asking him questions, but this questioning thing sometimes gets out of hand and we're like, God owes us an explanation. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the parents thing, I don't know about your parents, but sometimes my parents said, because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I still didn't trust that.
Yeah.
I still wanted to know why.
Sure.
And I can remember the issue of going to movies. I mean, when I was a kid, you did not go to a movie theater. And when I got old enough to kind of, you know.
You've made up for it since then.
Yeah, I've so. Made up. And I'll show them.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I got older, I would ask, well, why can't we go to movies? And the response was, not because I said so, but because the church says so. Mm. That was the, you know, because our church or our denomination basically doesn't believe in it. That was, I never got an explanation for, well, then why doesn't our church? So it ended with, the church doesn't believe in it, so you can't do it. And I'm not saying that's right,
yeah,
but I'm saying when dangerous. God says that,
right,
because I said so, we should be able to, you know what, I can't figure it out. I don't understand it. I don't understand why the people that we've lost, why we lost those people. I don't understand all of that, but those are hard words, you know, not my will,
yeah,
but your will be done. Yeah. That's not part of this story. But anyway, we'll wrap it up there today.
Awesome. Guys, hopefully you are enjoying the word, and I know it is a discipline, and I'm trying to plug through along with you guys as we endeavor to stay in the word of God. It's really the only thing that we got that's going to keep carrying us in this crazy world, whether it's Ukraine, wars, weather, just madness, y'all. So we need Jesus, okay? And we need the word. So stay in it. We'll talk to you guys next time.